Please.
Anybody would like to? Anyone?
What would you do with evolution in the curriculum?
I would teach it and explain that this is not the Torah way. Simple. The worst thing you can do is hide from things. I'll give you an example that happened to me many years ago. My oldest son was in the second grade, and it was Parshas Noach, and we were talking about how Hashem mixed up the languages of all the people. So he says to me, Abba, that's not how it happened. I said, oh, really, David? How did it happen? He says, well, first they were grunting and groaning, and then little by little they learned to make words. So I said to him, David, where did you hear this? He says, it's in our book. I said to him, show me. He brings me the book, sure enough, it's there. So I said to him, did the teacher discuss this? He said, no. She told us not to read it. As soon as she said that, I read it. I called up the teacher. I said, look, you have one of two approaches. Either you rip out those pages, or you face them head on and explain that this is not what the Torah says. And by the way, I'm not afraid to say that I don't understand. There is so much that goes on in life that happens to people. Does anybody understand why Nebuch, a little boy, getting off a bus is Nebuch run over? Can anyone understand that? I can't. I'm not afraid to say I don't understand. This is what the Torah tells me. This is what science is. By the way, we also have to make it clear that science never gives absolute things and it changes. But still, it's not the Torah way. But I don't understand. Sir.
Yeah, you mentioned before preparing a supplement for American history.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you name any resources that I can use that teach sixth grade?
Well, I'll say it publicly. The question is, can I name a resource for American Jewish history? I have a column called Glimpses into American History. It comes out the first issue of every month in the Jewish press. I hate to say it publicly. Actually, I don't hate to say it. It's on the internet. It's linked there. Originally, when I started that, the editor of Jewish Press asked me how many columns I might write. I said, maybe 12. 36 have appeared so far. There you will find stories about different communities. You will find stories about from people. You will find... Here's something to teach. First article is about how Jews celebrated Pesach during the Civil War. We have letters from the North and from the South. And it's fascinating, at least to me, to read those letters. They are amazing. They are amazing. By the way, in the South, they had to pay $2 a pound for matzah. This is in 1861. It's selling for 17 cents a pound in New York. But they had to have it, and they bought it. Isn't that something that would interest kids? If you contact me, I have zillions of things.
Yes, you respond to email.
Yes. Probably to nothing else besides email, my wife would say.
First of all, you had a very interesting article that you sent me today regarding the Christmas.
Yes.
Very good. Second of all, I think maybe kids, or I should say maybe myself, I grew up in the same area when you were talking about earlier, Massachusetts, and coming to this part of the world, it's hard to find yeshiva that just didn't say to come to yeshiva because we had no knowledge of yeshiva from where we came from to where we went to. Most yeshivas were teaching us Yiddish, which was something we're losing. That's another story. And English was just whatever we got. And they didn't teach us properly proper English. So that's A, B. As far as the maps, I don't know much today, but today you could go on MapQuest, you got Google, you're done. Most of these kids today do not want to study, they don't want to try to study.
But they're not supposed to go on the internet.
Sorry?
They're not supposed to go on the internet. And the internet, I want to make it clear, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt, but let me just say, make a point. The internet is a dangerous place. Nobody uses computers and the internet more than I do, yet the internet is a dangerous place. Any parent who lets a youngster go on the internet unsupervised, that's equivalent to giving the keys to your car to your 12-year-old and telling him or her, go for a ride. Would you ever think of doing that? No. Okay. Right, map reading, true. That is, you're right. You're right. I should eliminate map reading. It's just like when my grandson called me. What do they call the words? Are they homonyms? Words that sound the same and are spelled differently. Yeah, homonym. So he says to me, Zadie, can you find a list of homonyms Tisha gave them assignment? I go on the internet, I have 1,000 of them. So I start to read them to him, you know. Assignment is passe, yeah. Okay.
But today's technology is geared to the people that are, excuse my expression, lazy and dumb. And they just want to go quick. Everything's quick. There's not enough hours in a day.
Yeah, but technology, first of all, I didn't mention computers. I do believe computers should be taught in yeshivas. I believe everybody should know how to use Word, how to do word processing, Microsoft Excel, PowerPoint presentations, and also to create web pages. This is the ABC. This is the ABC. Typing, which used to be the garbage end, only the non-academics took typing, is today a survival skill. It has to be taught. It has to be taught. By the way, let me just say, this attitude was not always toward, not always what you're saying. I'll explain something. A gentleman named Rabbi Dr. Aaron Shapiro told me the following. Is Mr. Traub here?
No.
No. Okay. Anyway, I'll tell you a story about him too in a second. Wait. Aaron Shapiro was a boy not from a Shomer Shabbos home who lived in Chelsea, Massachusetts, who Rav Miller sent to Chaim Berlin. And he told me that he and two other guys bought some old junk automobile, and they used to go to Brooklyn College at 8 o'clock to make 8 o'clock class. They took 2 classes in the morning, zipped back to Chaim Berlin in time to be there so Rav Miller wouldn't find them when they walked in. During lunch, zipped back to take a course, and at night took 3 courses. They were taking 18 credits, and they graduated college. They were concerned. Traub was one of these boys. He told me this story himself. He was from New London, Connecticut, and he was young when he finished college. He applied to Columbia Graduate School, and he was accepted, and he was going to go. Rav Huttner, now listen carefully, Rav Huttner came to him and said, look, you're young. Spend 1 year learning full-time, and then you can live in the yeshiva dormitory, eat in the yeshiva, and go to graduate school. And that's what he did. What Rosh Yeshiva would do that today? My friend was a bold thinker. He was willing to think out of the box. Today, blinders. Sir?
Special education.
Yeah, I don't know about special education. I have no expertise in special education, and I really am not qualified to comment on it. Just like one of the people in response to my article wanted to know where my curriculum was, so I wrote a second article in the Jewish Press, but she was interested in homeschooling. I know nothing about homeschooling also. So I'm really not qualified to talk about that. I'm a college professor. I live up in the high atmosphere, you know, far away. But high school, I taught in high school 3 years while I was doing my PhD work, and I've tutored a lot. So that I think I know something about. I really am not competent to talk about special education.
Recognize it necessary.
Of course it's necessary for some.
But we don't have it.
We have, I don't know what we have. I'm very far away from that. I'm sorry.
There are only 2 schools for special education. The public school system
has
a whole citywide school district.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. But again, I'm not confident. Yes?
I think that also parents.
Parents are very stressed. Let us be honest and let us be fair. You can no longer live, the Orthodox family can no longer live on one salary, or at least let's put it this way, it's very rare. The expenses of chinuch, all sorts of other expenses, so more often than not, the mother is also going to work. Now, I'm not against women working, but there's a question of where you allocate your time and how it's done. But there's no question, there's no substitute for giving attention to your children, to learning with them, to talking with them, to seeing what they know. There's no substitute for that. And unfortunately, people come home very, very tired after a day. You know, there was an article I read, that I'm going to call it, that a boy came to the Menahel of his yeshiva in tears. He said, "I'm a bad boy." What do you mean you're a bad boy? He says, "I'm a very bad boy." "What's the matter?" And he's crying and crying. He's about 10 or 11 years old. Finally, he told the Menahel the following story. His grandfather had passed away about a year ago. And because of that, his father was forced to stay home. He couldn't go to all these things that he used to go to. So as a result, during that year, he was able to give time to this boy that he had never given him before. The year was almost up, and he said, "I began to think that maybe the same thing should happen to my bubby." You hear that? You hear that? You know, because he wanted his father home. And he was torn that this thought should even enter his mind. Such a terrible thought. He wanted the father home. He wanted the father home. You know, there's a huge amount of chesed being done in our community. There really is. The panorama of chesed activities is amazing. But the first chesed begins in the home, with your kids. Many people find it easier to run and help somebody else than to help their own kids. And by the way, it's frustrating to deal with your own child. I know, it's much harder to work with your own kid than somebody else's kid. There's something in you that you get it. I don't know what it is. I've seen it myself. You're not attached when you're tutoring somebody who's not your kid. When it is your kid, you're attached. And it's hard to contain yourself, and it's hard to remain calm, and it's hard not to say, "What's the matter? Don't you see it so easy?" Blah, 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 blah. Something you would never do with somebody else. But still, you have to do it. Sir?
I grew up in the 40s. To public school, and we had no TV, we had no internet, we had no money. So my parents sent us to school. We had professional teachers. They came in and taught you outside of the book. It's true. A teacher today comes from the yeshiva, comes from the kollel in most cases, because the yeshiva has no funds to hire professional teachers. On the outside, so the kid has to be taught by the book because the teacher doesn't know anything else. They do have now the outside influences that guide them, the TV, the internet, whatever it is, and unfortunately I see in the school system the smoking system and Mario Lange, the drug system, in the yeshivas today. And that is what is causing the problems. That has to be addressed rather than what we could do on teaching these kids. We have to address the causes of why it works and try to get around. And it is very hard. It is not easy to do. But we have to address it. There is a bad scene in the machines today, both in the
US and I. Let's be careful, though. First of all, let me say the following. Somebody sent me a link to a video called Home Sweet Home. It is an organization that deals with kids who have fallen off the derech. And it's kind of scary to watch that video. I sent that out to people on my list, the link, anybody who wants it, you can watch that. There is a problem. I'm not saying there are no problems. There are plenty of problems. And it's a complicated world. There's no question about it. And it's much more complicated than it was 50 years ago. No question about it. No question about it. It's an attractive, slick world. The New York Times of today would have been considered scandalous 30 years ago. They wouldn't have printed what's in here, half of it. Okay? We are living in a culture of declining morality, a society of declining morality. It's a fact. It's a fact. And that's why there is a great tendency to build walls, to shield young people and older people from many things. Of course, if you isolate somebody and they've never been exposed to any germs, the first time they are, they can get very, very sick. And that we see also. It's a delicate balance, and I'm not saying I know what the balance is, okay? So, agreed, the world is a dangerous world. Nonetheless, there still are decent young people around. Many decent young people. I deal with Gentile students at Stevens, and there are decent young college students. Very decent people. Very decent people. And we have to provide for them a reasonable, sensible education. Something I meant to say, but I didn't say, is the following. What do the yeshivas do? They give an academic curriculum. What is the purpose of an academic curriculum, ladies and gentlemen? To go to college. But yet the same black-haired yeshiva will say, don't go to college. You don't have to be an Einstein to figure out, wait a minute. He's telling me don't go to college, and he's giving me a college curriculum. What's going on here? What's going on here? Make some sense. Be consistent. So there's a lot to do. I agree with you. There's a lot to do. And I can only try to do my bit, my little piece. I became interested in American Jewish history because I felt that this was something that could fit into the curriculum. And eventually that I'd be able to take these articles and put them together as a supplement for teaching American Jewish history. That was one of the things. Sir?
Can I tell you something? Your whole teaching, one more thing. It's not that apparent, and it's a very difficult for no reason very first.
But excuse me. There's a lack of Derech Eretz amongst adults. If you read an article I wrote, From or Ehrlich, in which I talked about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the model that he was, and when you compare it to what you see today, let me give you one example. Rabbi Yisrael had Yortzeit for his father, and where he davened, they did what the halacha says. The halacha is only one person says Kaddish. That's the halacha, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we have many people saying Kaddish to avoid fights. In any case, where he davened, one person said Kaddish. A guy came in who had Yortzeit for his daughter. And he said he wanted to daven for the omer and say Kaddish. They told him, but the Rav of Israel has Yortzeit. And his Yortzeit bumps yours. Guy got very upset. So Yisrael Salanter said, let him daven, let him say Kaddish. So afterwards they went over to him and said to Yisrael, Rebbe, your Yortzeit takes precedence. He said, I felt it was a bigger schus for my father's neshama not to be mitztayer this person. Where do you see that practice today? They kill for the homage. They make 49 minyanim. Barov HaMahadris Melech, I talked to them, they look at me like I'm crazy. Where's Derech Eretz? Where's Derech? Mountain Fruit. I'm not unplugging Mountain Fruit. You know where Mountain Fruit is. Here on 18th, on Avenue M, near 16th. They have a parking lot, a narrow parking lot. When you pull in, you have to go out the other end. I pull into the parking lot one day, and this is right off Avenue M. And there's a big, huge van sitting there. I wait a minute, nothing happens. I honk, nothing happens. I just honk gently. I honk again, nothing happens. A third, a fourth time, finally, a woman, with a shaitel, with the whole outfit, turns and puts her head through the window and turns. And I said to her, lady, I can't go forward at the back out, I'm going to get killed. I'm waiting for a parking lot, parking spot, and until I find one, I'm not moving. She's waiting for people. I said, but lady, I can get killed. Didn't matter. I had to back out. Where's the Derech Eretz?
On the line of note, my father used to say many years ago that there are plenty of parking spaces, but who should do a parking space to help in the back up front? Okay, now I get your emails every day for a long time, which keeps me away from reading a lot of other things. And I know exactly where you're coming from, and I've been saying a long time, and as you said now, a lot of people that you feel that you can start a grassroots movement and maybe we can have some effect on the yeshiva system, the black yeshiva system. See, I know someone whose career was in guidance counselor for the Board of Education, who's also principal of the Sacred Heart of the Black Yeshiva, but his paramount thing in life is Torah. And he has told me that the more from the yeshiva, the more chutzpahdik the children are.
Well,
but what I don't understand is Israel, they say, there's a lot of violence and disrespect and crime and all that, but a lot of secular people who want to send their children to the religious school because they find over there that they should behave there. Why is that?
I'm not an expert on Israeli chinuch, and I don't want to touch that subject, although I have strong opinions on it, because there really is no secular substance. There you have a generation in which the word work is treif. And by the way, that attitude is spreading here. A guy told me the following. His organization wanted to hire a kollel man. And the guy came, he had never worked before in his life, and the guy told him that he won't take a job for less than $65,000 or $70,000 a year to start, because he has to make at least that in order to make up for the benefits, government benefits, that he'll lose by leaving Kollel. Because they're probably worth $50,000 minimum. With insurance and with the this and with the that and that. That's what we're dealing with. He says, we can't hire him. Another fellow told me that the guy who would love to hire somebody from Lakewood Yeshiva, Kollel man. But he interviewed a guy, and the guy asked him, what's the job? Guy never worked again in his life before. Never worked a job in life. What's the job? He has a business, says you'll be dealing with clients, getting orders, you'll be contacting clients, this and this and this and this and this. Oh no, he says, I think I deserve an executive position. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? The work ethic is dead in certain segments of our community. Now, I am for learning in Kollel. I want to make that clear. I believe that a young couple, one of the best things they can do is for the young man to spend 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be, a certain amount of time. But there's got to be an end, and there's got to be a goal of where you go. And there's got to be an exit. The yeshivas are not preparing a respectable exit. It's not there. It's not there.
What's the solution?
Yeah.
What's the solution for this? Also, according to my son, who is in seventh grade, who came from former Soviet Union for education at a higher level, and now in seventh grade, he learned what I learned in fourth or third grade. And every day, he comes from yeshiva, so to learn with him reading, math, earth science. Now I'm doing earth science with him. It's like my second job, from 6 to 8, only with my son. It's not normal, I have other kids.
Yeah,
it's like in a state or in Russia, 100 years ago.
I don't have all the answers. I said that up front. I think it's already now, it's 9:35. You have been a marvelous audience. I want to thank you for your patience. Have a good evening.
And on behalf of the shul, I want to thank Dr. Levine for this lecture.
What did Rabbi Kalmanovich from the Yeshiva say?